I'm going to turn your attention to Psalm 119, starting at verse 17. Redeeming Grace has been studying this chapter for the past 3 weeks at Calvary Lakewood. I just finished a series of the book of Philippians, so allow me to give a little bit of context for the psalm. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible and is written with great poetic structure. Every stanza of this chapter begins with the subsequent letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so we're in stanza 3 today. So Pastor Ryan has preached on the stanza that has Aleph and then Beit. And then the last or the third stanza is the letter Gimel in Hebrew, which is starting at verse 17 and goes to verse 24. The title of this series is The Christian's Path to True Blessedness. True blessedness or true happiness. So I want to begin with this question. How is the battle going in your heart? The title of the series implies that there is a path that leads to true blessedness, true happiness. But there are other paths, alternative paths, that tempt us to leave God's path and to make our own path to happiness. And Psalm 119 is clear that true blessedness, true happiness is found in devotion to God's word, in delighting in God's word. And in many ways, Psalm 119 is a description of the blessed man from Psalm 1. If you're familiar with Psalm 1, the blessed man is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. But from the beginning of Psalm 1, there is the temptation to perhaps choose alternative perceived paths to true blessedness. We'll face wave after wave of temptations to veer off the path of true blessedness. In this life, Christian, you're going to face wave after wave of temptations to minimize or marginalize God, the place of God's word in your life. I mean, this is all from the beginning, right? We're aware of the fact that a lie came into our world. And this is the lie, that what God has spoken to us is less important than your own judgment, your own assessment, your own wisdom, and what can make you happy. That is a lie. So the question is, how do we stay faithful to God's word? So in this third stanza of Psalm 119, we see the psalmist respond to opposition. We see that introduced in the psalm now, opposition. We see his response to the temptation to reduce the authority of God's word in his life. How does he respond? How does the psalmist seek to stay faithful to God's word? He prays. He prays. He's asking God for grace. Right? Faithfulness to the word is always accompanied by prayers for God to work, asking God to be gracious in our life. And so in our passage this morning, I want us to see three prayers for God's grace that we should be praying as we seek to be faithful to God's word. Three prayers. So number one, ask God for grace to help you stay faithful to his word. Let's look at Psalm 119, starting at verse 17. This is God's word. The psalmist writes, "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." I'm guessing you're like me in this way. You want to live longer. Right? The psalmist is like all of us. He wants to live longer, and he prays for longer life. His request carries with it the idea of deliverance. How many prayers are prayed every day, every moment, around the world for more life, for longer life? God is the author of life. Pain and suffering remind us that we're on borrowed time. So the question is, what are you going to do with the time that you have? The psalmist is clear with his intentions. Right? He wants to obey God's word. He wants to keep God's word. True blessedness is found in keeping God's will, not in breaking it. Jesus, when tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, responded, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What we need most is every word that comes from God. And most importantly, the word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. The psalmist knows that life is found in faithfulness to God's word. Maybe you're here and you hear what I'm saying and you say, "But Jordan, that doesn't sound very joyous." Friend, God is not calling you to die to joy, but to find your joy in him. To pursue our joy in him, that quest for happiness that we're all on. It's to be found in all that God is for you in Jesus Christ. Paul expressed this very clearly in his letter to the church in Philippi when he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and if I die, it's gain." Right? He is life. Faithfulness to his word is life. And the key to knowing this life is grace. Grace to save us and grace to take us all the way home. And we need God's grace to continually open our eyes to see the wonders of his truth. And this is what the psalmist says, that God's grace would open his eyes. Look at verse 18 again. Right? "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." It's one thing to have knowledge of a subject. It's something else to know the meaning. Right, Bible teacher Charles Bridges says, "External knowledge is like the child spelling the letters without any apprehension of the meaning." Maybe you feel that the Bible is an ancient book that doesn't really apply to maybe where you are right now in your situation. But friend, that could not be farther from the truth. The Bible is God's revelation of himself and of his ways and of his will. And it's full of wonderful truth for you right now, today, July 12th, 2020, in Denver. It's for you. But here's the deal. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, it speaks of a spiritual veil that's covering our eyes, covering our minds, I should say. We may see various facts of the Bible, but without the Spirit's help, we can't see the gloriousness and wonder of the Bible's teaching and of Christ himself. But the Holy Spirit can remove this veil. And so we should ask God for grace to open our eyes to see the beauties and glories of Scripture. The psalmist prays for God to open his spiritual eyes to see more of God's wonder and his law. So here's an application. Next time you sit down and you're reading God's word, maybe you're doing that right now. Maybe you should pray this prayer right now. Or you pull it up on your app. Pray this prayer. Pray the prayer of the psalmist, right? "Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word." Ask for this grace. Secondly, ask God for grace to help you stay faithful to his word in a world that's not your home. Look at verse 19. and 20. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Christian, this world is not our home. This world is beautiful. Our Father made it. We live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. The cost of living should make that abundantly clear. It's beautiful, it's breathtaking, it's expensive, but it's not home. He has told us that He is preparing a new and better home where death shall be no more. We're sojourners in this world, as the psalmist says. We're on our way to God's city. No matter how good our economy may be, no matter how good our personal well-being may be, this world is not our home. Whatever country we take our citizenship, our ultimate citizenship is in God's kingdom. How do we get to God's kingdom? God's revelation tells us that story, tells us that truth in the gospel. Whatever we are seeking to find, we must find that truth in the gospel. Find that truth in the gospel. The psalmist asked God not to hide his commands from him. That's a negative way of repeating what he asked in verse 18, to have his eyes opened. I want you to imagine you're trying to get to know someone. Try to get to know someone. What question are you going to ask? Perhaps several different questions, but one of the easy questions that we like to ask is, where are you from? Where are you from? Right? It's a helpful question to understand someone's story. It leads to lots of other questions. We all want a place to call home, and there's a significant shaping influence when we mention, oh, I'm from here, I'm from here. Most important for the Christian is not where we are from. Most importantly is where we are going. Where we're going. And just think about this. Look around right now. Or just think about all those who are around you. Where we're all from. So many different stories. But we're all going, if we're in Christ, to the same place, our true forever home. That hope for home, brothers and sisters, unites us in Christ. And because of this hope, we long for God's word. God's word tells us of our future home and of His grace that will lead us home. The longing here in verse 20 is similar to Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. And God's decree, the psalmist finds his joy. In the word of God, he finds his true meaning and purpose. Third prayer. Ask God for grace to help you stay faithful to his word when others oppose you. Look at verse 21. And following. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me the scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Faithfulness to God's word will bring opposition. And this shouldn't surprise you, Christian. Jesus said that if the world hated me, it will do the same for you, my followers. And for us to stay faithful to His word when others oppose us, we must pray for grace. Christian, what's displayed in your life when you feel squeezed? When you feel pressure from opposition? Will it look like the love of Christ? Or will it look like the world? And for us to stay faithful to His word when others oppose us, we must pray for that grace. And what does a psalmist do when he feels that pain and pressure of opposition? He prays, and in that prayer, he preaches to himself. He preaches to himself. He says, self, trust that God will deal with the arrogant and the disobedient. Self, trust God and ask him to remove the scorn and contempt of others against you. And that while we trust him, we don't suspend our call to obey. We continue to obey. We keep his testimonies, verse 22. We continue to meditate on his statutes. When we feel injustice against us, we strive for faithfulness to God's word. When you feel like so much of your life is out of your control, you declare to God, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. When you cannot say that honestly, you repent and ask God for grace to make his testimonies your delight and your counselors. You're consistent when you're oppressed, when you're wronged, when you're opposed, it's then that the enemy will come with a lie. With this lie. Your obedience to God really isn't working. It really isn't life. You're going to have to make this work on your own. And that's a lie. The psalmist declares, your words are my counselor, are my counselors. Blessed is the man, the woman, who does not follow the counsel of the wicked and sinful, but instead his delight, her delight, is in God's word, God's instruction to us. We're in a battle for faith in our hearts. That this particular pericope of Psalm 119 and so many other psalms reminds us that we're in this battle for faith. Remember the prayer in verse 18. Right? Open our eyes. Lord, open my eyes to see what I cannot see on my own ability. Open my eyes to see the wondrous truths of your word. Friend, are you aware of your blindness? Do you understand that you are lost outside of Christ? Your morality will not save you, but by grace through faith in Christ, you can know the path to true happiness and true blessedness that God has given to us. Pray to God to open your eyes that you might see, truly see this amazing Savior Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this important word that we receive from you this morning. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see the wondrous truths in your law, in your word. Lord, we are faced with temptation over and over again this morning, even to slightly even believe the lie that, well, maybe I've got to do some things on my own to make this all work. I've got to veer off the path a little bit if I'm really going to make this work. Lord, you are commending us from your word this morning to stay faithful. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Oh, Lord, help us. We pray for grace so that we might faithfully keep your word. We pray for longer life so that we might obey your word and we might testify to your amazing grace. We love you, Lord. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.